Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we might be salt and light. Be with us now in this time and place, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So what does it mean to you to be salt and light in your life, in the world all around you? In this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we learn that we're called to do more than just have a personal faith in God. We're called to live a certain way. We're called to flavor the world like salt and shine that light of Christ. But what does that mean to you in your everyday life? What does it mean today, tomorrow, the next day, to be salt or light? How can you do that in our homes, our schools, our community, our offices? Where are we called to be salt and light? And do you ever wonder why Jesus used those images? What's so special about salt? Ever heard someone say, he's salt of the earth? Isn't that what we say about someone who is good and decent, ordinary, but maybe an unsung hero? When Jesus asks us to be the salt of the earth, what if he's asking us to be that and so much more? In Jesus' day, salt was very important, and everyone knew it. Salt added flavor to foods, but it was also the primary way to preserve food. Vegetables, fish, meat, even cereal offerings. Salt was also a way to preserve a contract with someone. It was kind of like a handshake. Sometimes a covenant was sealed with salt, some from your house, some from mine, and we would throw it across each other's shoulders. The Bible mentions these covenants of salt in Numbers 18 and 1 Chronicles 13. To use salt was also to preserve life. New babies were washed in salt water. Wounds were treated with salt. Salt has even been used as currency to pay laborers. The word salary even comes from this idea of paying someone with salt. You might have heard things like, he's worth his salt. So if Jesus says we are to be salt of the earth, how and where are we that salt? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, it's good for nothing. It can be trampled underfoot. What does that mean to you? What if it means we have a very important job to do on this earth? What if it means that we are called to preserve life, to covenant with one another, to share that goodness of God? What if that means, what if that's what it means to be salt and light? There was a neat story I read a few years ago about three housemates who bought a couch at the Salvation Army for $20. You know, they were living in a big house together. They needed a couch. It's the best place to go find a cheap one. When they brought it home, they started finding these wads of $100 bills stuffed down into the couch. When they pulled them all out, the total was over $40,000. Some of this money was in an envelope, and they found a name on an envelope. They decided to find the owner. The name was the prior owner, and it was a widow who lived in a rough neighborhood, and it turned out that her late husband had been putting money in the couch for his wife to use when he was no longer with her. Those people were some salt of the earth. Get that couch back where it belongs, and that money. You know, salt is a strong chemical compound. It doesn't just go bad. It doesn't just break down. So why does Jesus mention losing saltiness? Because salt can be diluted. Salt can be diluted. It can lose its saltiness if it's diluted with something else. For people in Jesus' day, that might have been sand. See, if a seller of salt wanted to cheat someone, they could dilute the salt with white sand, making it useless. The people wouldn't necessarily know at first. What keeps us from being salt of the earth in the world around us? What dilutes our faith? Is it busyness? Do we have too many things going on at once? I think that's one of the main ways our faith gets diluted. We're paying attention to too many things at the same time. We all have to watch out for this. We can become so busy that we fail to preserve life, to add that flavor to the world around us. We fail to connect with one another, you know? Sometimes we're so busy with what seems important that we're sacrificing the moments that are truly important in life. I'll never forget hearing Anna Quinlan at a Tulsa town hall, and she was talking about how stuff is not our salvation, how important it is to realize how little our stuff really matters, and how preserving life is what really matters. She told this story about asking her grown son one day, "What were you most grateful for growing up?" And she was shocked when he said, "Well, I just remember we were having a good time. We were all enjoying life." He didn't talk about things or activities or opportunities. He didn't talk about what they'd owned or places they'd been, but just how they lived. He was grateful for a mom who loved life. How are we living these days? Are we enjoying life? Are we helping other people to enjoy life? What is our faith doing in the lives of all the people around us? You know, what if being a light can be as simple as just making human contact with someone? A smile, a hug, a handshake. Aren't there people in this world that depend on that from you? We all know of people who don't even have that human contact every day. One pastor I know says that we actually need human touch every single day to be healthy and happy. She says, in a pinch, you can wrap yourself up in a blanket. But it's even better to have that real human connection. I believe that, and I believe there are tons of people that we see every day who don't have that connection. My mom delivers Meals on Wheels in Tulsa, and she sees it week after week after week. Sometimes the people she sees on Friday when she delivers the meal, that is the only human contact that they will have all that day and sometimes all that week. We need that. We need that human connection because Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And what if being salt and light is simple as loving our neighbor, treating people with respect, doing a good job at whatever you've been asked to do? Isn't that something we really need in this world? Don't we turn on the TV or open up the paper and see exactly the opposite? We turn on the TV every day to violence. We listen all the time to people's rudeness, to disrespect, to lack of integrity. What if being salt and light is just acting the way Christ would have us act? One of my most favorite pastors and authors, the guy who wrote the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, Presbyterian pastor, he was asked what he would say if he were writing what he knew would be his last sermon. And this is what he said. He said, "I think I would want to talk about things that are immediate and ordinary. In the kind of world we live in today, the primary way that I can get people to be aware of God is to say something like, 'Who are you going to have breakfast with tomorrow? And how are you going to treat that person?' He said, in my last sermon, I guess I'd want to say, go home and be good to your spouse. Treat your children with respect. Do a good job at work. What if he's right? What if being salt and light is pretty simple? What if it's a lot like what Jesus told us was the greatest commandment, which is actually the mission statement of our church? Loving God and loving neighbor. Some of Mother Teresa's wise words sound very familiar. She said things like, every time you smile at someone, it's an act of love and a gift to that person. It is a beautiful thing. She said, it's not the magnitude of our actions, but the amount of love poured into them that matters. She said, if we want a love message to be heard, it has to be sent out. And if we want a lamp to be kept burning, we have to keep putting oil in it. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a basket, but on the lampstand to give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. When you think about it, salt and light are really used to enhance something else. We're here to draw attention to Jesus, not to ourselves. We want people to see what we do and give all the praise to God. Salt preserves, light illuminates. We are the salt and light for the sake of other people, for the sake of the world. Being salt and light means loving people around us in a special way. We're salt so that they can know God's love. We are light so that they can see God at work. It's not about us. It's all about God. One pastor, Chris Thomas, said, we as followers of Jesus fulfill our roles as disciples when we flavor the earth and illuminate the world with our actions and words that ultimately point to Christ. You know, that's what we're doing with the Youth Cafe. We're going to be salt and light to flavor the world and illuminate it with actions that point to Jesus Christ. We may not even say a word about Christ, but in our actions, we are that salt and light. If we are living just for ourselves, if we are not thinking about what this means to be salt and life, well, we've lost our saltiness, and we're like a lamp, a light that is hid under the bushel basket. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel this day. You and I, we are salt. We are light. God has given us the power to be that and the opportunity to show that, pointing people back to God. May God show us the way to be the salt and light. Amen. Friends, let us affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed found on